again, everybody, and here we are again for another episode of Pod Pals, where this week we will be sending our love down the well as we bring you Season 3, Episode 13, Radio Bart. Normally, to introduce us, I'd say something really horrible to introduce Dan, but I mean, to be honest, this week I'm just pleased that my friend can join me, as you've had quite an eventful 7 days, haven't you, Dan?
Yes, I have. I don't feel well. To let everybody know who doesn't have me added on Facebook, I had my appendix removed last week. So it was painful and very sore. And they'd puncture like three holes in your two and your, like two beneath your belly button and then one inside your belly button. And I can only describe it as I very much feel like I've had a group of men inside me.
That is one thing that you are truly familiar with, isn't it? So
yeah, it's and I don't know why they had to put a camera up me butt. I've no idea
why it's still up there.
Yeah, exactly, and why the surgeons keep asking us if I can just wiggle it around a little bit so it goes further up.
Like you can hear them talking, like just as you're dozing off, you just hear like slight murmurings coming from your ass.
Then I hear them laughing. I feel self-conscious.
very concerned about you last week. Yeah. I was when I got that little photograph of you in your little hospital bed with your little drip on.
It was a weird thing because it just felt like a belly ache, and then you sort of you tell yourself, don't you, oh, I'll have a poo, I'll feel better. So it did that didn't help. Went to sleep, thought a night's sleep will be great, woke up the next morning just in crippling agony. I was like, oh, something's gone disastrously wrong. So I went to the doctors, and he like examined us, but I can only describe the examination as like putting us in a figure four leg lock from the wrestling. Like he was just twisting us all over, and then he was like, yeah, you need to go to A&E right now. Still didn't tell us what was wrong. I was like, oh, okay. But sent us off to the hospital, and within like arriving at the hospital, like I think I got the hospital for like 6 o'clock or something, and then by 10 to 11 they were putting the mask on for the anesthetic, and I remember looking at the clock and thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to remember the time. 10 to 11, then I came round in recovery, and it was like 10 past one. So, the appendix was removed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hate to tell the tale, aren't you? So, you know.
Yes.
But I've heard it is absolute agony, like. Like, I've still got my appendix, but I know people who, like, have theirs taken out, and they said, like, the pain, it's like, now you can describe in, like, your right side or something.
Yeah, that's right. So, it starts, like, at your belly button and then just spreads down to the right-hand side of your stomach, which is where your appendix is. And it basically, it's attached to your large intestine. But what I can describe it as, it looks as if your large intestine has a penis, and that penis is the appendix, and then they just snip it off.
No, that was the doctors. That was what you were saying on the X-ray, Dan. They've lied to you there.
Doctor, what's that strange organ there? Oh, don't worry about that, Mr. Horden. But yes, I'm here to tell the tale anyway. And what I will say for the listeners out there, if you have never tried morphine, I suggest you head to your local drug dealer and get some, because it is brilliant.
I'm concerned because I know you've got a very, very addictive personality, so I don't like to think of you off your fucking tits on morphine, like. Right.
What I need is the listeners to send some money through and buy me a coffee so I can buy more morphine.
Buy Dan some morphine.co.uk.
This whole website dedicated to this. there was one point I came round in recovery, and I probably remember this. There was like this guy next to us. He's like, how are you feeling, Daniel? And I grabbed his arm. I was like, oh, doctor, thank you, thank you. He whipped his arm away. He was like, I'm not a doctor. All right. Like what you need in those tender moments is just somebody like pat you on the head and go, come on, son, you're all right. But he didn't want any of that.
Oh, I'm not a doctor. Is he just starts kissing you?
Kissing me neck and I can't move because of all the anesthetic.
Jimmy Savile. Here we go. It's been a while since Sir Jim's been in this podcast.
I was in Stoke Mandeville Hospital, funny enough.
But hey, look, we are here to discuss, let's not forget, we are here to discuss Radio Bart. So what were your thoughts going in, Dan, on this one?
Well, I just love it. I always remember loving it. I think this is like consummate boss. Like, it's a typical prankster, really, isn't it? Loving it, loving it, loving it, goes too far and then rues a decision. Good life lesson, really, about sort of knowing when to stop, I guess.
Yeah, it's very much a little bit of a boy who cried wolf scenario, isn't it? Like, it does absolutely come to bite Bart on the arse.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I love this one just simply because, like, I think I say after every episode this season that, like, this was the one that I had on DVD as a kid. So, like, I remember these episodes the most. I say I had it on DVD. What I've never actually told you before is that it was back in the days of, like, copy DVDs. I think I got it from, like, a car boot sale. So, naturally, only one of the four discs worked. And this was the only one that did actually work. So, this was one of the only episodes I actually got to see. And so I've watched this one like a hell of a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Watching
it earlier on.
I sort of, now that I'm an adult and I look back at it, Eddie and Lou's reaction to like Bart sort of admitting everything and no, I was just faking it, but I am really stuck now. And they're just kind of like, oh, well, see you later. Like, it's very, very cruel. I mean, they're meant to be enforcing the law.
They are meant to be police officers, Daniel.
They're upstanding members of society. They've got a badge and a hat.
I've just literally realised there, as I was looking through my notes, I haven't came up with a Simpsons question. I do this every week now because I'm like running so low on them. I'm always like, as the episode goes on, and here we are, just don't have one. What's your favourite Sting song? I don't know. What's your favourite Sting song?
Oh, the only one I know, which is Alien in New York, I guess.
That is a good song.
And I like that song because...
Englishman in New York, sorry.
Yeah. Englishman, yeah. So I like that song because he says, I'm an alien, I'm elite. It's meant to say I'm an illegal alien, but to me it just sounds like a legal alien.
Right, I see.
And that's all I have to offer.
I'm going to cut this bit from the episode, I think.
just play Englishman in New York over the top.
I don't like Sting, and I think there's a lot of people out there don't like Sting, but I would have let you choose some Police songs because obviously he wasn't the Police, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So you could have had Roxanne. You could have had Message in a Bottle. You could have had them all.
I don't know any of these music, though.
have you ever played the Roxanne drinking game?
No.
Oh, my God. It literally, like, it'll make your appendix grow back, Dan. That's how lethal it is. So, basically... You will have heard the song.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne.
You have heard that song, right?
Yes.
Yes, you haven't, have you? But we're just going to pretend that you have. So basically, as you know, that song, a lot of the lyrics are Roxanne, just repeated again and again. And the other lyrics are, you can turn on the red light. So the drinking game is, whenever he says the word Roxanne, you have to drink. And whenever he says, turn on the red light, you have to spin around. But there's literally like a 4-minute non-stop section of the song where it's just him going, Roxanne! Gets to the point where you're like, I can't see. I don't know what's happening.
I am more than happy to play this game, but providing we use morphine instead of alcohol.
we don't even make it at the end of the song. We're just fucking lay on our backs.
We're like that cult who all killed themselves wearing Nike trainers with towels over their heads. Like, what would you, like, did the police just discover us half buried underneath the duvet?
They don't even like bother to like collect our bodies. They just turn the music off and walk out. Aye, but have you got any fun facts anyway?
I do. So your first one this week is, the producers of The Simpsons originally approached Bruce Springsteen instead of Sting, but he didn't fancy it.
Oh, why? That's it. You know what? All the celebrities who've like brought the next to be on The Simpsons, I would have thought the boss, as he's known, would have loved to have been on The Simpsons. You can probably tell, though, that makes perfect sense. Like, it's so obvious now that you would never just go for Sting outright. Like, he's obviously a battle for someone who said no when you think about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sting's like a decent guest, but he's not Bruce Springsteen.
Basically, they've asked Paul McCartney and they've got Ringo Starr. That's essentially what's happened there with that one.
Yeah, effectively, aye. When Marge tells Homer that they don't own any of Sting's albums, Homer tells her to be quiet because he's a good digger. This is a reference to one of Sting's early jobs where he was a trench digger before making it into the music business.
Yes, he was. I mean, I just love how Homer has lied there just to kind of get some free labor out of Sting. I was like, my son's a massive fan. He loves you. He loves you a little bit, you know.
To be fair, you would do, though, wouldn't you? You would do, like.
Obviously, would I?
After an earthquake in Mexico in 2017, a news outlet made a story about a trapped girl called Frida Sofia. It later emerged that she never existed, and the channel aired Radio Bart when they admitted the fake story by a way of acknowledgement. So, yeah, they created a story to drive up the viewing figures.
Oh, that's a bit weird. Well, that's weird, that, because there's literally a point in this where... You know how we've like said on previous episodes how Itchy and Scratchy always seems to conveniently have the same kind of topic as the episode itself?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit morbid how like this whole crisis is going on and then they literally do an episode where someone gets trapped in a well and killed.
Like I've said before, the Itchy and Scratchy writers are very fast. It did sort of pique my interest a little bit, that Mexico story. I was doing some digging in it, and yeah, like, it was purely to drive up numbers, and they never actually came out and said, like, we're sorry, but they said, yeah, it was fake. Here's the episode of The Simpsons where they did the similar thing. Like, that feels like a very strange path to go down.
Right, so it didn't actually happen. So the news station orchestrated it.
Correct.
Right, that's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, so because obviously there was this big earthquake and there was lots of coverage of it on all the Mexican channels, as there would be, but as a way to like sort of, let's say, drive up the viewing figures, they were like, oh yeah, we've got a direct line to the parents of this little girl who's trapped. He is like the breaking news.
That's such a Mexican thing to happen, isn't it? Like, do you know what I mean? I feel like that wouldn't happen in any other country in the world.
Like nobody's checked the sort of the health and safety or what's appropriate here. They're just we need some viewing figures.
Don't do the voices. It's racist.
Oh, yeah, I need a gasoline bumblebee man. It was a bumblebee man impression.
Was it? Well,
yeah. For legal purposes, it was a bumblebee man impression. Is that okay? Is that a loophole we can use in court?
I think you've got out of that pretty well.
Okay,
fair play.
That's fine.
Hey, let's get into the plot, shall we?
Can I tell you my last fun fact?
Oh, have you got it? Sorry. Go on.
Prick.
All right.
It's been aggressive, wasn't it?
It was really good. Have some morphine, will you? And shut up.
I was never this nasty when I had an appendix. Okay, your last fun fact is there was a toy called Ronco in the 70s, which is what Bart's microphone is based on. Effectively, it was a toy that done exactly the same thing, played music. You would sing karaoke over the top. You could hide a speaker and pretend you stuck down a well, that sort of thing.
How did it work, though? Because, like, it can transist onto any radio
frequency,
like a certain radius, can't it? So that's a bit dangerous, that, isn't it?
Any frequency, but there are like people out there who like the amateur sort of ham radio enthusiasts, and like they tune into police radios and stuff to find out what's happening in the area and stuff. You do get a look down there.
That's a lonely existence. Like that to me is like, tell me you're a serial killer without telling me you're a serial killer. Like, oh, I've got a ham radio that I use.
Yeah, but to be fair, doesn't Batman do a similar thing? Because like he listens into what the police are doing, then goes to the crime scene. Or is that Spider-Man?
No, that is. I mean, I think they all do it to a degree. I know Batman's got the fucking bat symbol, and they just switch that up when they want a bit of Batman. There he is. He's sitting down having a Chinese. He's like, for fuck's sake, man!
Trying to have his salt and pepper chips.
For fuck's sake.
But isn't he a billionaire, Batman?
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of holes really in Batman's whole existence. I mean, his parents are dead. He's just trying to cope, Dan. He's just trying to make the world make sense. To be honest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wonder if he's doing anything with his appendix. Because I need one.
Can you? I was going to say, isn't that like appendix like a really pointless thing where when you take it out, they're like, well, you don't need it anyway. So it's like, well, why do we have it?
Yeah.
Do it in your life?
So they told me the working theory of why humans have an appendix is because when we were sort of cavemen and hunter-gatherers, we used to have a diet that contained a lot more vegetables and fruits and berries and stuff before we started, like, obviously cultivating meat. So apparently the appendix is what was used to process, like, a high amount of vegetables, berries, etc. That's the working theory.
I don't think you need it when you live solely on a diet of Rustler's burgers. So, you know, I think
absolutely not. Right. It's wasted on me, Bonnie lad. Wasted.
But hey, let's get into the plot, shall we?
Yes, please.
Go. So this episode aired on the 9th of January, 1992. It was written by John Vitti and directed by Carlos Boeza, which I don't think I've seen that name since you've been doing that podcast.
No, I think he does. Yeah, that sounds new.
I feel like as well, because you know how like on Wikipedia, they've got like the link to their actual Wikipedia page in blue. Well, mm-hmm. This guy didn't. Like, he didn't even have a Wikipedia link, so God knows what he's done. Like,
it's a competition winner.
Pretty much. I think that's his only ever work. But hey, the episode starts. It's Bart's birthday coming up, and Homer sees an advert for the Superstar Celebrity Microphone, which transmits the user's voice through local AM radios, and Homer thinks this would be the perfect present for Bart. Bart's birthday arrives, and he starts the day off with a birthday shout-out from Krusty. So the bit where all the names come up for like a millisecond on the screen where he gives like the birthday shout out, I actually pause that because I don't waste my evenings. And his name
Sorry, can I just quickly interject? You are the coolest man I've ever met.
Bart's name, I'll have you know, is right between the names of Emma Shannon and Larry Stone. So fucking stick that in your fun fact, eh?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll make sure I include that when we get round the full cycle of Simpsons episodes and we come back round to do it.
I've never really been asked about that sort of thing as well, you know, like that whole birthday. Like, I'm very much at an age now where, like, it was literally my birthday last week, and I'm at that point now where I'm like, let's just get it over with. Let's just get the day out of the way. I can't be asked.
Yeah, you get a bit more cynical as you get older, don't you?
What about the shout-outs, though? I always remember, like, I've never really been into them, but I always remember for me dad's 50th, which was a fair few years ago now, it was the day Sunderland actually played Newcastle, of all teams, so it was, like, a big derby, and, like, it was my dad's 50th, obviously a big deal, so my mum was trying to, like, oh, what should we do for him? Like, should we get, like, a box for the match and stuff? And my dad was like, no, I want to be in amongst it, man. We play Newcastle, I want to be in with the lads. So he wouldn't have anything like that done. But, like, I think in his heart of hearts, he like still expected something to be done. So like, you know, at halftime where they do like all the birthday shout outs and that. I always remember my dad like going to the toilet at halftime, and like, he was like, right, I'm going for a piss. I'll be back in a bit. So as he started walking down the steps, they started reading out the birthdays on the on the scoreboard and that. And you saw him like noticeably like slow down and like look up at the scoreboard, like waiting for his name to be read out. And it was literally like that bit on the Germans episode last week where like they said the final name. And then it was just like, that is all. I just remember him. It's just this expression of sadness just came over his face. He just put his head down and walked under the concourse.
Like him telling you that he wanted to be in amongst it, he was just acting tough. Like, what he really wanted.
Well, you got what you wanted, Kevin.
You're in amongst it, aren't you? Fatty prodding his belly.
Aye, but Bart himself, speaking of his birthday, he's in for an action-packed day as he claims a free birthday Sunday. I love that. He didn't get out. I love how just like nasty that is. he gets a free haircut and a free tango lesson. Just watching that dance scene as well, like where she's literally got her legs, like both legs over Bart's shoulders. What a view that must be for him.
I would love to have a lady's legs over my shoulders. I would love that very much. I tell you what I will say, after the operation for like 24 hours, I could not stop getting an erection. It was constant. I have no idea why. Like, the missus got to pick us up from the hospital. I was going, hey, look at that in my trousers. Look at that. oh, you mucky, filthy man. Look at you. She's like, I can't help it. I think it must be the honest
thing. You're with a rolled up newspaper. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Chase us with a broom.
But hey, it's time for Bart's birthday party at Wally Weasel's. It's a pretty tacky establishment, to be honest. I think the best example of this is when Bart is serenaded by the animatronic band. And it's just like, you're the birthday, you're the birthday,
Isn't
you're the birthday boy or girl.
Absolutely brilliant. Honestly, that's when it's like a birthday in my house, I always sing that. I never sing the actual happy birthday song.
I just love the tattiness like of that like establishment. Like we went when we were in America in one of the Disney parks, there was an attraction called like the Tiki Room or something, or the Tiki something. And it's been there since like the 80s. You go in and it's full of like animatronic birds from the 80s who like sing daft little songs on that. But because the technology is that old, you can't actually hear what they're singing anymore. The loudest part of it all is like the gears and the motors like moving. So all you hear throughout the entire thing is just... It's proper immersion break.
It's a funny thing when we sort of tell our kids about what entertainment was when we were growing up. Like, I sort of remember going to Blackpool Pleasure Beach and like, just like getting put on these rides where like, there was like obvious bolts missing in the cart and stuff. And like the people working on them were like, the bar doesn't really cover your legs, but just make sure you're holding on tight. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Like,
I always remember there was I think it might have been Blackpool, funnily enough, of all places. No word of a lie, I genuinely like saw a screw like in the cart that we were in. So I picked it up and I got the lad's attention. I was like, excuse me, there's a screw here. And he just looked at it, looked at me, looked at the screw again, and just put it in his pocket and walked off as if to say, like, you didn't see anything. You didn't see anything.
All right, Brass, do you want to go on the ride or not?
I do not get paid enough to care about your well-being. After a pretty mediocre set of gifts, Homer thinks he's going to save the day with his microphone. I love how sure he is, where he's like, Bart, I bet you never thought anything was going to top that cactus.
That was a good line, though, wasn't it? That was a good line.
Homer's gift doesn't go down too well, though, to be honest. And he tries to convince Bart of all his possibilities the microphone holds. When Homer's talking through to Marge, and Marge is like, I can't hear you with all that distortion. It reminded me of, like, that was very much the 90s quality of, like, electronic gifts like that. Like,
yeah, it really was. It's always as if when you spoke to a microphone, the toy in the 90s, you could hear the springs vibrating all the way through the toy. you could hear like a feedback over the top, couldn't you? Hey, there's not worse than hearing your own voice played back. Try doing a podcast. It's awful.
Oh, God. Do you know what I do? Proper cringe loads, you know, when I listen to it. I mean, I cringe when I'm recording it, but I cringe even more when I'm fucking listening to it back.
Honestly, why do you think I don't listen to them back?
You can't bring yourself to do it. No,
on a wing and a prayer, my friend, a wing and a prayer.
Bart eventually does get some enjoyment out of the gift. I love his initial prank as well, when he pranks Homer with the alien invasion broadcast. Just that there's like the shot of Homer where he's like running past Bart's bedroom door with a shotgun.
I do love how readily available weapons are, like, in America. It does give us a laugh because it's just so fucking dangerous.
It's just like how ready Homer is to like deal with that situation. Uh-huh. He's like, right, here we go.
Like, there was an element of preparedness before Bart done that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's always had that ready just in case. He's done like drills, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, done like little mock runs.
Like zombie invasion, nuclear fallout, alien invasion, like whatever it happens to be, Homer's ready.
Aye. Which is it's quite reassuring in a way, if anything. Bart's pranks grow more elaborate, and eventually he drops the transistor radio down a well and tricks Willie into thinking a child is trapped in it. The prank escalates, and suddenly the whole town is tricked into believing that Timmy O'Toole, the name of the lost boy, and nobody realizes it is in fact Bart. A townwide rescue mission ensues, but with no member of the police force slender enough to climb down into the well, other means have to be tried. The Simpsons family pray for the rescue of Timmy before dinner, much to the amusement of Bart, who can't hold in his laughter. As often is the case with stuff like this, there is some shameless celebrity involvement in the form of an appeal musical to raise funds to help Timmy's cause.
And finally, Channel 6's own Krusty the Clown has gathered members of the entertainment community, who normally steer clear of fashionable causes, for a video called We're Sending Our Love Down the Well.
I wanted to do something to help that boy, so I called my good friend Sting. He said, Krusty, when do you need me? I said, Thursday. He said, I'm busy Thursday. I said, what about Friday? He said, Friday's worse than Thursday. Then he said, how about Saturday? I said, fine. True story.
Yeah, I used to open for Krusty in 69. In fact, he fired me, as I recall.
Sting.
But this isn't about show business. This is about some kid down a hole or something, and we've all got to do what we can. There's a hole in my heart, as deep as a well, for that poor little boy who's stuck halfway to hell.
Though we can't get him out, we'll do the next best thing.
We'll go on TV and sing, sing, sing.
And we're sending our love down the well.
All the way down.
We're sending our love down the well.
Down that well.
Krusty, what are your plans for the royalties?
Well, we gotta pay for promotion, shipping, distribution. You know, those limos out back, they aren't free. Whatever's left, we throw down the well.
I do just love the song, Sending Our Love Down the Well. Like, I just love how Krusty brings literally nothing to that song. Like, he's, if anything, he ruins it.
He's spoiling it a bit, isn't he?
He's just shouting over the top.
Yeah, he is spoiling it a little bit, Krusty. It's a good sort of piss take of sort of Feed the World and stuff, because like these empty sort of gestures that celebrities carry out, or society carries out, really, like for Live Aid and all stuff, it makes you look good and stuff, but what does it actually do? Because you never really seem to see benefit. The fact that these events still go on every single year shows that, like,
nothing's working.
It can't be doing that much. It's just, well, you know.
But do you remember when lockdown first started during COVID, and Gal Gadot and like all the other like actresses in Hollywood did that Imagine video?
Painful.
I feel like that was one of the like the first times where, like, rather than just being like, oh yeah, that's really nice, we can see what you're trying to do, everyone was just like, can you just fuck off? Like, we do not need this. Like, do you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a global pandemic. You're not helping.
Yeah, like Ellen DeGeneres, like, pretending to cry and singing Imagine was the opposite of what society needed, quite literally. Like,
I need PPE is what I need. I don't need you fucking crying.
I need PPE. I need an appendix. That's what I need.
I need a fucking lateral flow. That's what I need.
Yeah. Honestly, but isn't that just Western culture in a nutshell?
I mean, I said at the start of the episode, I'm not a fan of Sting. And it's not just because he's a Newcastle fan.
It doesn't help though.
I mean, yeah, it really doesn't help. But it's just, he's just got an attitude of just being like a bit of an arsehole, and he, like, everyone always says, oh, fucking Sting. Like,
when I think of Sting, like, I think of like him saying how much yoga helps his sexual prowess, and he didn't go to his parents' funeral because he didn't want media attention. You're not that big, pal. Like,
you're not
that big a deal.
What annoys me about him, he's always constantly caught between, like, am I actually this working class Geordie who, like, sticks to his roots, or am I this, like, middle class celebrity? Like, and he doesn't know what he wants to be. And I just think it makes him, like, so awkward to watch when he does things.
I think we can agree that he might be the working class hero, he might be the middle class celebrity, but what he definitely is a bell end.
Yeah, pretty much. Hear, hear. Eventually, Lisa finds out that Bart is behind the prank and warns him that eventually he will be caught, especially as she reminds him that he was stupid enough to put a property of Bart Simpson label on the radio. A terrified Bart tries to sneakily retrieve the radio during the night, but accidentally falls into the well himself, trapping his leg under a rock. I mean, is this karma, Dan?
I guess so, but it's a harsh punishment for I know what he's done stupid, but it's not like the worst thing in the world. It's stupid, but it feels like you're sort of getting a finger amputated for pinching a lolly from the shop.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, earlier on, the reaction of Eddie and Lou just ignoring them and letting them, like, no, you've made us look silly, so we're just gonna let you rot, like, do you know what I mean? Basically,
yeah, and we're not gonna tell anybody.
Very unfair. We've all got to ask ourselves the question, at what point does a 10-year-old child deserve to die? And I think that is the question you need to take away from this episode.
Hey,
I don't have an answer next week.
If you've come to Pod Pals for the philosophy, well, you got it.
Listen, the whole town are annoyed at Bart for his hoax, and the public opinion sharply turns. Whereas the town were brought together in their quest to save little Timmy O'Toole, the same affection isn't felt towards Bart, as the town are happy to let him stay there. With the town against him and feeling truly alone, Bart shows genuine remorse for his actions. Hearing Bart sobbing from the well is all Homer can take, and he begins digging Bart out himself. Homer's act does actually spur the town back into action, and before long, the entire town has turned out to take part in a good old-fashioned well digging. By God, it's been a while.
I've always wanted to dig a big hole.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why.
I want to dig a big, big hole and not be able to get out of it, and then just wait for death.
Yeah, not tell anybody what you do in that day and turn your phone off.
Yeah, just see what happens.
Yeah, genuinely though, I'd love to, especially because I don't like my neighbours, I'd love to just go out the front where we've got like a joint lawn and just start digging a big hole. And then if they say what you're doing, I'll say, well, you can't say anything about it. It's mine just as much as it is yours, and this is what I want to do.
I wonder like how far you would get before you genuinely like ran into problems. Like how far do you think you could dig before you like, I don't know, maybe hit like the Earth's crust or something.
I think like the first 5-6 feet down, you'd have to be avoiding like water mains and stuff. But then I think after that, it'd be pretty much fair game, wouldn't it?
I like to think it's going to be like a proper cartoon, and like you start digging, and then you get like so far down, like not even that far down, like you can still see your shoulders from the top of the hole, but you just see like Australian people, but they're upside down. After much digging from the townsfolk and Sting himself, Bart is finally rescued, and they make sure nobody can fall down that awful well again, as Willie hammers a caution well sign into the ground nearby. That should do it. Like, just board it up. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Put a bit of plywood over the top. That's all you needed to.
Yeah, it struck me that, you know, when you see those signs like outside quarries where it's like, oh, caution, quarry, like, if you're determined to get in the quarry, that's not going to do much, because like it's not a preventative measure. It's just simply a warning measure.
Yeah. Like no one's ever seen that sign who had intentions of going into the quarry and gone, oh, actually, I better not.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I want to go in the quarry.
I've got a quarry to get rid of.
Have you ever been in a quarry?
No, because I'm not a fucking serial killer, Dan. What sort of question's that?
Well,
have you?
From one serial killer to another.
Have you been in a quarry?
Yeah, once.
Do you want to talk about it, or am I not qualified to help you unload that memory?
Legally, I'm not allowed to talk about why I was in the quarry. But what I can tell you is, just because I was wearing lingerie at the time of my capture does not mean it was a sex crime.
Let the papers say what they want, Dan. They'll make a story out of anything.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. That's what I always say.
But I know the episode comes to an end. I did really like this one. You know, just very nostalgic, very good.
Why did you sound like you were talking to people in an old people's home there? You were like, I really did like this one. I love this one. All right.
Very nice, and had some lovely little jokes in, and we all had a laugh, didn't we? Any jokes that you did like, particularly in this one?
I suppose there's plenty in this. I suppose I do really like Krusty saying all the way down. It's because he spoils the song. I like that.
I like the whole thing with the Lincoln squirrel as well. That squirrel that looks like Abraham Lincoln.
The Lincoln squirrel's been shot.
Just when even Ken Brockman, we'll stay with the story all night if we have to, as he like thumps the desk.
I tell you what I like about that squirrel as well. It's got like a mole, exactly where Lincoln's got his mole. The squirrel's got the mole as well.
The Lincoln top hat on as well.
I remember. It's holding an acorn, if I remember right. But
probably just made it up, sorry.
Then they've obviously got like the white chalk line around his body of where it's been shot. But no, it's good episode, classic. It's good to do sort of this series because it's just banger after banger in it. Like it's all just top-notch stuff.
Yeah, really, really, really good top-notch stuff. Unlike this podcast, The Simpsons, trust us, is good. You should really sit down and watch it sometime. You get a lot more out of it.
But every episode of Pod Pals I delete immediately because it is pointless. A pointless waste of your time and ours.
Yeah, I don't want any link to this whatsoever. So, because it might genuinely stop me getting employment in future months. So,
in a couple of weeks. Yeah, tell you me.
But hey, what have we got next week, Dan? What have we got next week?
Good question, Anthony. I won't care. I've just looked at it, but it's escaped my mind. That's the old ADHD. But now going for us, no appendix, ADHD.
Would you like me to tell you?
It is Lisa the Greek.
Yes.
Where she's picking the teams out for Homer.
Good old gambling episode we get to discuss next week.
The only trouble is I can't be bothered with Lisa's moral lessons. I don't, maybe I'm just getting old.
Yeah, I don't think she's that bad in this one. I think Homer is like a bit of a prick, to be honest. But we'll get into it more next week. Another thing that I've meant to ask you for a couple of weeks now, Dan. Why is there so much porn on our Facebook account?
Oh, yeah. Apologies for this. So whenever this happens, I immediately like delete the post and ban the member and stuff. But
that's the thing, Dan. You don't. I thought you'd be doing that. I was like, oh, yeah, Dan's saying this. He'll sort it out. And I went on the other week, and there was literally ones from like 8 weeks ago. And I was like, what's he been doing? So I deleted them is what I've done.
It's because I don't get any notifications to tell us what's happening. I've got to like manually go on and check to make sure that there's nothing there. But there's a lot of nudie bots on the Pod Pals page, isn't there?
A lot of nudie bots, there is indeed.
There's a lot of nudie bots.
I deleted them, right? And then I looked and there was like one post from like April and it was mine. And I was just like, oh.
The thing is, right, whenever you delete them, like three takes its place. So it's like sort of enemies spawning in a PlayStation game. Like you kill like, one.
It's like the Hydra in it. It just keeps
it's just got an extra head. So, yes, apologies about the soft porn. I mean, don't click on the links for goodness sake because it's very much hardcore porn. But then again,
on our Facebook page unless me and Dan message you directly.
Yes, exactly. And me and Anthony will send you some far more sensual and erotic pornography than what any of these websites can give you. Mine answers better.
Yeah, because you can tell with me and Dan, it's two people who genuinely love each other, which makes it more authentic.
Exactly. And Anth loves me, even though my belly button really smells after the operation.
No, but hey, this is it. This is another episode down. I think we've got through it, and that's all we can ask, Dan. It doesn't matter about quality anymore. My days of being asked about the quality of this show are over. I just want to get through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm very much quantity over quality now. So
it's we're into the final 10 episodes of Series 3 as well, if you can believe that. Well over a year, we've been at it now. An episode a week on the whole, not so bad. Free entertainment, this. And for all you thieves out there listening to this free entertainment, thank you very much. We appreciate you immensely. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We would be lost without you.
Oh, dear. Well, everybody, thank you for listening for another episode. Do follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. We're on buymeacoffee.com/podpalspodcast if you would like to throw the show a few quid. No pressure whatsoever to do that. Me and Anth just do it for the love of the game after all. We'll be reviewing, as Anth said, Lisa the Greek next week. In the meantime, do take care, and if you could all send me your appendixes through the post, I live at number 17 Farside Close in Durham, and I would very much like some appendices, please.
Appendices.
Is that the plural for it? I don't know.
I hope you actually do get stuff delivered, you know.
I was going to say, because would an appendix come through in like a flat envelope or one of the jiffy bags?
It would come in one of those hospital bags with like, you know, the like hazardous symbol on it. That's what I think.
Yeah, like the bright, like, bright yellow.
It should be like dry ice and stuff where they've got to like keep it cool.
And what I would do immediately is I wouldn't like try and surgically insert it. I would just swallow it and hope for the best, like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works, isn't it?
Like, you know, in Tom and Jerry, when the lungs will get smashed out with a hammer or something, they just swallow them back in.
I think that's pretty much scientifically accurate, to be fair.
Yeah, I think so. It happens to Mr. Burns as well, actually. You remember Mr. Burns' lungs spill onto his desk and he's going, oh, there with my lung. He just swallows them back in.
Is he deaf? That was my lung, Smithers.
Oh dear. Is this all just the after chat of the episode, or are we actually not saying bye yet?
Yeah, you know,
don't matter. Just
don't. Just that much we don't care about.